how is patience generally defined? Google tells me it's defined as the ability to remain calm, self-possessed, and uncomplaining while waiting, enduring difficulties, or facing provocation. Okay, solid definition, but does anybody else see a problem with that? This definition tells us that patience entirely relies on us and our ability to do the aforementioned things. Worldly patience relies on our own personal willpower to passively wait out an annoyance with quiet tolerance. The problem is our willpower has limits. The world we live in today is extremely impatient by nature. And instead of finding ways to develop patience, society's solution to the problem of impatience is to simply eliminate situations where we need to be patient. And while I'm the first to admit that I love me some Amazon Prime, it goes to show you just how much our current culture struggles with impatience. That's what Google says about patience, but the more important question is, what does God say about patience? For the sake of time, I won't read every verse, but throughout the Bible, patience is described as slow to anger, active endurance, the restraint of judgment, and the trust that God will fulfill his promises in his time. Biblical patience is rooted in faith, while personal willpower is rooted in imperfect tolerance. As defined in Wayne Grudem's book on systematic theology, God's patience means God's goodness in withholding of punishment towards those who sin over a period of time. Why is this better? Because it doesn't rely on us. We deserved wrath the second we first sinned. God is demonstrating his patience towards us by not giving us that death sentence the second we deserved it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." God knew the cost of sin, but he also paid that cost when he sent his son Jesus to die in our place. Jesus, who, by the way, was surrounded by people his entire life that gave him every reason to be angry, was slow to anger and fulfilled the Father's plan with patient endurance. Because of that display of patience, we can now take part in God's glory, which was not possible before and is not possible without him. So if God can be patient with us, we can be patient and wait on him to fulfill his end of the bargain in his timing. We can be patient amidst the groanings of sin because we have something better coming that will be worth waiting for. Paul tells us about a glory that is going to be revealed to us later, a glory that will only be revealed to those who are children of God. This focus is on a future, heavenly reality, one that far supersedes current hardships. That being said, if we're going to commit to being patient in eager hope, we first need to know what it is we are eagerly hoping for. What is this future glory that Paul speaks of, and is it even worth it? We can see just from this passage that this future glory will include our bodies being released from sin and suffering. Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." We might not have all the specifics, but just from these couple passages, we can see that what is being described is far better than what we currently have. It is something that is worth waiting for. All creation was subjected to God's curse because of the fall, because of human rebellion. Creation is not currently functioning in the perfection that was intended by God when he created it. In verse 19, Paul describes the groanings of creation. The word creation is mentioned 4 times regarding groaning. It is not just you and I who groan at sin. It is literally all of creation. Therefore, God subjected creation to the curse, not because he wanted to, but because it was required. God hates sin. That's why he had to subject creation to the curse. This is justice. God cannot be in the presence of sin. Now he patiently waits for us to turn away from that sin that he hates so much and turn toward him. This is also mercy. Looking back at Romans 2:4, Paul writes, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" God is intentionally waiting and being patient with us as we walk the path of sanctification. The only logical reason you could fathom as to why he would do this for us is that he is kind and he loves us. And that is just a testament to what we have seen and will continue to see over these 6 weeks of the summer series, how all of God's attributes work beautifully together and simultaneously with one another to give us the hope that we in no way deserve or could get on our own. Does anybody have a memory from when you were a kid and your parent promises you something and they say something like, be patient, it's coming later, but you don't feel like it ever will? And maybe sometimes it doesn't, because parents are just imperfect humans, right? Sometimes the plan changes, but with God, we know the plan never changes. We know that we can trust his promises. We know his plan is the best, and we absolutely know it's coming because he says that it is. Since we as believers know this, we can hang on to that hope and be steadfast in the Lord when trouble comes our way. Notice I say when trouble comes our way, not if. Look back to chapter 8, verse 17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. The mere presence of patience indicates the presence of a challenge. And that can mean many different levels and types of challenges. It could mean a severe, life-threatening illness that you are waiting to see be healed. It could be a loved one that you are desperately waiting to see again. It could be that you're waiting for your kids to finally get their shoes on so that you can leave the house. Regardless, true. Regardless, when we hear the word patience, we don't often associate it with something good. We usually are having to be patient because we are trying to wait out a particular challenge in our lives. We generally feel impatience when something takes longer than we expected or is harder than we expected. As Jen Wilkin puts it in her book, In His Image, being human is to battle daily with impatience, and we have to battle it because of the close relationship between impatience and anger. Often we see that the Bible refers to patience as slow to anger. Anger in general is not necessarily a sin, but anger due to impatience while you're playing with fire there. I used to think that being patient just meant waiting. Waiting for the tantrum to subside, waiting for this life circumstance to change, etc. And waiting is part of being patient, but it's not all of it. God calls us to wait with intentionality. Patience is not passive. Being patient doesn't mean turning a blind eye to sin. It doesn't mean gentle tolerance, and it doesn't mean you're indifferent to the current happenings. It is a purposeful act. We hang in there because we are driven by a higher purpose. Biblical patience reveals our faith in God's timing, omnipotence, and love. Biblical patience is purposeful and persevering. What do I mean by that? It's purposeful in that it requires purposeful waiting, and it perseveres because we know that glory awaits. It is persevering towards a goal, and that goal is eternal glory with God. We can be patient amidst the groanings of sin because we have something better coming that will be worth waiting for. We are being refined. Remind yourself of who God is and what he's doing in you. In verse 22, we see Paul move on from creation groaning to us as believers groaning. We, along with creation, long for sin to be abolished. We're all groaning now because we long for the day that we are redeemed. And what's important here is that we have the presence of hope. Just look at how many times the word hope is mentioned in the passage. Hope, eager hope, looks forward. In the same way the word patience indicates a challenge, the word hope indicates something good, something to look forward to, something better than what we have now. Like it says in verse 24, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. We are longing for something better. We aren't longing for something that we don't know will happen or not. Going back to Romans 8:17, we are heirs of God's glory. It's coming, we just aren't privy to the timeline. When we start thinking about it in this way, we add meaning to our suffering. For us as believers, sin and suffering have an expiration date, for they are not eternal. We can be patient amidst the groanings of sin because we have something better coming that will be worth waiting for. So how do we apply this to our lives today? I'd be willing to bet that there are at least a few people in this room right now that are going through a challenge of some sort. Believer, remind yourselves of the promise that God has given you. Read this passage again. Print it out and look at it every day. I've done that. Stand firm in knowing that God will be revealing his glory and his timing. You're working towards a goal, and that goal is eternal glory with him. But sometimes that can feel really far away. What can give us what we need to keep going in this hard moment right now? Verse 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Two things here. One is that God is working behind the scenes in our suffering. We might not ever see why this bad thing happened, but we know that God is sovereign and he is accomplishing something through that, whether that be in us or in someone else. And second, you have been called according to his purpose. You are not here by accident. God is in control of this hard thing in your life. We tend to forget that God suffered too. We think God wouldn't do this to us, but he did it to himself for us. He is accomplishing something through our suffering. It is not for nothing. And there is nothing wrong with groaning about sin. We aren't supposed to like it. I'm not saying you should be happy about the suffering you're enduring right now, but this is an attribute that we can reflect. We have the opportunity to demonstrate patience. We can bypass the worldly patience of quiet tolerance and run towards biblical patience with active endurance and trust. This is a way we can be more like God and experience more of who he is in a way we haven't before. He's still walking right alongside you. And to those that don't quite know if they believe yet, when suffering comes, what will you put your hope in? Will you proclaim the word of God today, but jump ship the second something becomes hard? Or will you work to build a solid foundation so when the waves of suffering come, you're still standing? If you aren't quite in the place of totally believing in what Jesus has done for you yet, talk to the person who invited you here tonight. I urge you to put your trust in the one true God who, through his own act of patience towards you, sent his son to die in your place. So, the journey to glory is riddled with suffering. But the point of the passage is not the fact that there will be suffering in this life. It's the fact that the suffering will be worth it. And if we know and have assurance that the suffering will be worth it, then we can endure it with patience as we eagerly wait for the day that God gives us our full rights as his adopted children. That's it.